Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we have another awesome interview for you. I'm really excited for this conversation today because it's different than any other episode we've had on the podcast today. And in just a second, you will understand why. So today my guest is Aaron Thomas. He's the founder of prenups.com. Yeah, you heard it, prenups. Welcome Aaron to the show.
Hey Whitney, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for taking time to be here. So I love starting this off. Give everybody a little bit of backstory about who you are, what you do, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, Aaron Thomas, like you said, I'm the founder of prenups.com. I am a longtime family law attorney in Atlanta, Georgia, which is a euphemism for divorce attorney, of course. And I founded prenups.com. We write prenups that help couples stay married.
Awesome. Love it. So everybody who's listening is probably like, wait a minute, this is like a PR and marketing podcast. Like, why do we have a divorce attorney or a prenups guy on the podcast? Sorry, everybody, I'm not engaged or getting married. So the reason why I thought it would be so cool to bring Aaron on is A, he's a wealth of knowledge, but B, like a hot topic in my brain has been around trying to promote or market something that is usually seen as a negative. And Aaron, I'm probably like, I'm literally preaching to the choir right now, is like the moment people say prenups, everyone's like, oh, it's like marketing a funeral home, you know? So what has been your biggest challenge in working in that space?
Yeah. I mean, it comes with its pros and cons for sure, Whitney. I mean, you can't talk about the topic of prenups without kind of admitting the elephant in the room that they have a bad reputation. You know, there are a few things, you know, with more stigma than prenuptial agreements. People hear the word prenup and they recoil. A lot of people do. They immediately think it's a plan for divorce. This is what you get when you don't trust somebody. This is for, you know, only the rich and famous or the 80-year-old billionaire and his young gold-digging wife. And so, you know, you're starting way behind with people usually, you know, when you're trying to market something like prenuptial agreements.
Totally. And we actually had, so for a while, we represented a medical cannabis practice. And obviously, there's all kinds of feelings in that space of people that are heavily for it, people who are heavily against it, people who want it to be legalized for recreational use, people who, you know, they want to tighten the reins. So like, gosh, doing, you know, the messaging and also like the social media aspect around it was really, really insightful to see the amount of feedback you get from people.
Oh, yeah. No, I bet, you know, and it's a challenge, you know, to try to, you know, win over people that you think are going to, you know, recoil at what it is that you're trying to promote. And that's one of the first big lessons that I learned in trying to promote prenuptial agreements is I think I was so scared. You know, I definitely believed in the product. You know, Whitney, I've been doing divorce law since 2007. I've probably done over 1,000 divorces in my time. And so I've seen some things. I knew that prenups could be something that is used for good and not evil. But in terms of getting it out there, you know, my original attempts to market it, I think, were almost apologetic in nature, you know, coming out there like, oh, I know prenups, I know, but bear with me, you know, like hear me out here. Yeah. And in fact, the first iteration of the company was called We Nuptial, Com, where you probably get where I was going there. I was trying to talk about couples coming together and they're doing it jointly and they're having these important conversations that we know couples need to have about money to avoid the fights that break apart marriages. But I broke the rule of be clear, not cute, be clear, not clever. And it was, ended up just being too confusing. And I had to learn to not try to win over the haters, not try to win over the naysayers. But to address the people who are already curious, they know that this might be something that they're interested on, they're on the fence. And instead of trying to convince the skeptics, I needed to go and address my market, you know, the people who are interested in what it was that I had to promote, the service that I knew that I could deliver. And we've had a whole bunch more success, you know, taking a more direct approach rather than apologizing for what it is we do.
Oh my gosh. So anybody who listens to this podcast normally is like, they get it because I preach on this all the time. And actually, I don't know if I've ever told you this. At my, when I first started the company, the agency, we named it Socially. And we do, I mean, we do social media, but we also do PR, we do email drips, we do a lot of different things. And the name Socially made everyone think we were only a social media agency to the point where I probably lost so much business off of it. I had multiple people that kept saying like, well, I didn't call you for that project because I didn't know you did PR. I just thought you did social only. And imagine if, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 people said that to me. Imagine how many people thought that and just kept going and never said that to me. So I probably lost so much business for the agency just by trying to be cute. Like, so I preach that on the podcast all the time of like, look, you can't try to like be clever with people. They don't get it. You've literally, they're being promoted to and advertised to so much for so many different things that like, you literally have to hit them over the face of like, I help people get prenups, you know, or they won't get it. They will miss it. And then you're missing out on business. And, you know, so clever, not cute is like 100% the way to go.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And so the second iteration of the business after we nuptial was GeorgiaPrenups.com. Right to the point. Nobody ever asked me what I did, where I did it, how I did it. And, you know, that was kind of the first step towards moving to messaging that could connect with our ideal customers.
Yeah, totally. And y'all, the first time I met Aaron, we connected through a brand builders group thing and we got seated at the same table and I saw his company name and I was like, oh my God, how much did you have to pay for that URL? Prenups.com probably was like a pretty penny. But again, just the searchability of that has probably earned it back, or eventually it will earn it back for you tenfold just by the amount of people who are probably Googling prenups. Even to just learn about it. Maybe they're not even getting one yet, but they're Googling the word prenup and I'm sure that they're finding you. So when they are ready to get married and make that, you know, leap, then you're going to be the first one that they think about. So, I mean, people, it's a solid investment. I'm behind you on that one.
Yeah, thanks. It wasn't cheap, but when I look back about how I quibbled over the price and tried to negotiate for several months, you know, to talk the person down, it was 100% worth it. You know, not only, you know, prenups.com, obviously searchable and easy, but it turns out that nobody can spell prenuptial. It's P-R-E-N-U-P-T-I-A-L. And most people think it's UAL. And so, you know, just another little, you know, piece of trying to make it as easy as possible, as little friction as possible for, you know, people who want our services to find us.
Totally. Another thing I think that's so cool that you're doing is like you are, and I'm seeing this in a lot of different industries, but like you're changing a very age old way of doing something, you know, like people in the past for however many years have been doing it the old fashioned way. They call up an attorney in their town. They drive down to the, you know, their office. They sit down with them. Da, 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 da. Here's what's going to be in our prenup agreement. It's very, very costly. So like you're kind of like innovating this entire industry. And I'm sure that there's probably like, you know, challenge. I'm sure there's people that are totally with it, but also like, you know, have you had any challenges with like, it's not reinventing the wheel, but like doing a service in a new way?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. It is a niche within a niche. So, you know, most people who draft prenuptial agreements, you're going to your divorce lawyer's office, right? And the person who drafts the agreement, you know, the divorce lawyer probably does 50 to 100 divorces for every one prenup that they do. But by niching down and specializing in this and making it the only thing that we do, we've gotten really good at it, you know, just by repetition. And so we're able to provide a cost savings. You know, most places you go for something like legal services, they're going to bill you by the hour. They're not going to tell you how long it's going to take. You're going to have no idea, you know, what it is. And by making it flat fee for clients, putting the pricing on their website, which is like usually sacrilege in the legal community. They're, you know, the last thing a lawyer is going to tell you is how much it's going to cost. I think that we have appealed to, you know, a new audience, which is the millennials in our case, who, you know, they watched their parents go through the 50% divorce rates of the 1980s. They don't want to make those same mistakes. They're getting married later in life. They've got a little bit of assets in their pocket. They don't have the same stigma that our, you know, generation, our parents' generation has about prenups. And they want to know how much it's going to cost. You know, they're not trying to drive to, you know, this dodgy lawyer's office. They want to get on a Zoom call. They want to know the price up front. They want to be able to find your Instagram account online. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all of these are things we've had to learn to meet our clients where they are.
Yeah. But I think like it's just so powerful that you have stopped trying to serve everybody. Like, are boomers going to use you? Probably not. Okay. Also, like, well, there probably are boomers getting prenups out there, especially with a certain level of wealth. But like, are the boomers probably going to believe in this? Probably not, because they were trained that the correct way to do it is old fashioned way. But like, I feel like you've kind of gotten the double threat of like, you've niched down your business so much to literally one service, and you know so clearly like your exact audience. So it's like kind of a match made in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. And even what you just said took a little bit of trial and error. You know, I thought originally that the main people looking for prenups were going to be the boomers, you know, the people who, you know, 50, 60 above, they've been through a marriage or maybe two, and they, you know, are saying, I'm not going to go through an expensive divorce case that lasts 2 years. I'm not doing that again. I've got a ton of assets. You know, I want to make sure that I'm protected. But the average client that we found from the data is 30 years old, 31, 32. They're on a first marriage. You know, they're not multimillionaires. They're people who, you know, maybe they make low six figures, but they're, you know, they're on an upward trajectory, and they just want to be clear. You know, they're not trying to leave their spouse penniless. They just want to be clear about what falls into my bucket, what's in your bucket, and what's in the joint bucket, so that, you know, they can kind of like avoid the mistakes of, you know, people they've seen get divorced in the past. And by just kind of following the data and, you know, seeing where our clients are, we've been able to, you know, market really niche down, not just to prenups, but the specific type of person that we want to work with.
Mm-hmm. And you hit the nail on the head. Like, I got a divorce when I was 29. I had the business back then. But going forward, would I get married again? Absolutely. I'm sure I will. But will I get a prenup? Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the business is way bigger and more successful than it was back then. But even now, just the idea of like protecting what I've built, again, it's nothing to distrust anybody or whatever. You never know what could happen. But I'm definitely going to get a prenup on this next go round. And I think like now you're seeing entrepreneurship just, I don't know any level of data, so I don't know if I can like speak definitively on this, but I feel like there's so many more entrepreneurs now, especially even post COVID. All of a sudden everybody quit their job and everybody's doing their own thing. And like, everybody's got a side hustle, and like, there's so much more entrepreneurship, which I think definitely spurs people to want a prenup.
100%. And in fact, I talk about this often. Business owners, entrepreneurs are the number one category of people who should be considering a prenup. Here's why. Every other asset that could possibly be divided in a divorce, there's a pretty straightforward, reliable way to come up with the value for it, right? A bank account is worth whatever's in the bank account. Your retirement account, maybe you deduct whatever the taxes are supposed to be, but you pretty much know what's in that account. A car, you can go on Kelly Blue Book. On with a house, you can get an appraiser. But a business, how much is your business worth, is something that people can disagree on wildly. So one person, especially, you know, you look at your average kind of owner operator, small business, you know, one principal, maybe a couple employees or, you know, some VAs. And that person's going to say, without me, the business is worth zero. I can't sell this business to anybody. So it has no value except for maybe the dollars that are in the bank account. And that person's spouse, when they go through a divorce, they're going to hire a business valuation expert who's going to say, I don't care that, you know, you haven't, you know, there aren't perfect comps for selling this business. I'm going to look at your 12 months trailing revenue and a multiple of, you know, 3 point whatever. And I'm going to say this business is worth $1 million. And if you think your business is worth zero and your spouse thinks it's worth $1 million, let me tell you, that's going to be a long and expensive divorce that is going to cost a ton in lawyers' fees and business valuation experts. So, you know, the entrepreneurs are also, you know, coming in droves to get prenups because they're figuring this out.
Yeah, it's just legitimately, you know, like I read about when we look at PR in general, PR is about shaping reputations and sometimes having to change people's minds about a person or a product or a service. And changing people's minds is one of the most challenging aspects of the entire PR industry. But I think you hit the nail on the head of, like, instead of going around spending all your years trying to change people's way of looking at prenups, is like, why not focus on the people that are interested and your target audience rather than spending decades of your life? Ultimately, you're not going to change their mind. You know, they're not your people.
No, 100%. Absolutely. And, you know, I think by putting front and center what it is we stand for, you know, we're prenups that are written to help save your marriage. That sentence alone piques the interest of the type of people that are going to resonate with the way that we service our clients. You know, so many, it's such a topic that is misunderstood that you've got to be really laser focused in how you communicate to people. And, you know, the number one thing that I try to get across in my messaging is, you know, the biggest myth that people have about my service, which is that it's just a plan for divorce. That's what everybody thinks. And when I explain that, this is about structuring your finances in a way to avoid arguments during the relationship. Everybody knows that the number one thing the married couples, or close to the number one thing the married couples argue about, is money, right? Is money. And with couples today, you know, you look at couples who are in their 30s getting married today, you know, the average couple, 30 years old on a first marriage, they've got 4 to 5 bank accounts each. They got 3 to 4 credit cards each. They got $10,000, maybe $100,000 in student loans. They got a vehicle. Maybe they got a small business. Maybe they got some equity in a condo, right? And the person who got married, you know, in the last generation, they were getting married at age 20. Student loans didn't exist. Credit cards didn't exist. You know, student loans certainly didn't exist to the extent they do today. They had maybe one bank account between the two of them, maybe one car, no equity in it. So they were a blank slate. You know, a couple back then, getting married was like it was like a startup. Yeah, it was no risk. It was like a startup in your garage, you know, a little thing. And today's marriage is like a corporate merger, you know. Yeah. So for like the entrepreneurs, they understand that, right? Like, you would never go into a business partnership and say, we'll just figure out who owns what percentage of the business. We'll figure that out in court if the business doesn't work out. No, you're going to get a document, you know. And so given how complex finances are today, people don't want to go in there and just roll the dice, you know, and take chances with their condo and their 401k and, you know, the car. Even if they've only got $150,000, they need that. They need that protected.
I literally had a friend a few months ago say, like, oh, I'm quitting my job. And this girl and I, we met, we were on a committee together, and we're going to start a business together. And I was like, okay, so are y'all 50-50? Like, how did y'all structure this? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, yeah, we're just going to share everything. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, my anxiety level went through the freaking roof. I was like, no, you need to go to an attorney and you need to get like an actual partnership agreement. The most interesting thing one of my mentors told me was like, Whitney, if you ever consider to have a partner in the business, just know that a business partnership is like marriage, but without the sex. So you better be ready for all the arguments, all the counseling, all of the finance discussions, but yeah, without any of the benefits.
No, it's totally right. It's totally right. And I think that's like such a great analogy that everybody understands that, you know, when you're going in any kind of partnership, whether it's a marriage or a business, you want to resolve all of those potential issues when you're in the honeymoon period, when everything is great, when the trust is high, the communication is high, you still love each other, you think this business is going to succeed or this marriage is going to succeed, that's the time to write down the rules of the road, you know, rather than, you know, waiting until everything is completely falling apart and then figure it out on the back end. And so it is good advice for both businesses and for relationships.
Okay, so I know that you have a pretty big announcement coming up. Tell us about what you've got coming out here very, very soon.
Yeah. Super excited to announce that on October 17th, 2023, my first book is going to hit the shelves. It is called The Prenup Prescription: Meet the Premarital Contract Designed to Save Your Marriage.
I love it. Give us a quick overview of the book. I don't want to give it away because I want everybody to go buy it, but give us a quick overview.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, basically, you know, a lot of people are figuring out that if you get married, you've got a prenup. You've either got the default prenup, which is the laws of the state you happen to be living in, or you customize your own. And so in this book, you know, what I find is that so many people don't understand what it is that they're signing up for when they're getting married. It is the most important financial contract you're ever going to enter into your life. Yes, marriage is the most important financial relationship you're going to enter into in your life. And it is a contract that most people have not read. And the first time that people see what it says is when they're sitting in a divorce lawyer's office years down the road. And so I wanted to break apart and explain what it means to legally get married. And then also kind of break apart how do couples structure their financial lives. And I think what makes for a good prenup also makes for a good marriage. So in the book, we explain the three principles that you should keep in mind when getting married: transparency, communication, and fairness. Those are the things that make for a good financial relationship, and they're the same things that make for a good marriage.
Very cool. Okay, so tell us where we can find the book.
It is going to be on Amazon.com. It's going to be everywhere else that you can buy books online. And if you want to learn more, if you want to sign up to get updates on it, you can go to prenups.com. You can also follow me on your favorite social media platform at Prenup Guy.
Prenup Guy. I love it. I'm totally going to get the book and I appreciate it. I feel like, you know, everything you share today, this is like such a good real life example because people hear me talk on this podcast about stuff like be clear, not cute. Your messaging is so important. Like niching down your business, knowing who your audience is. Literally, you just solidified 90% of the stuff that I preach about on here all the time. So, but it's really cool to hear it from a first person example. And especially, I think examples bring things to life for people. You know, they can sit here and listen to me talk about theory and strategy all day long. But when they hear someone, even like me, making that mistake and naming my agency something that wasn't fully clear on what we do, I think it's totally different when people hear an example or a situation, it really brings it to life for them.
Yeah, no, look, you are doing a great service here. You are telling your listeners the truth. I know it for sure. And I'm just glad that I was able to kind of be an example to help you out here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And congrats on the book. That is so exciting. And eventually, whenever I meet Mr. Wright, I will be your next client. So I look forward to it.
Thanks so much, Whitney. It's been an honor here.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.